Shalom Yehudim, shalom Bnei Noach, shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Ches B'Chodesh Mal Cheshvan, Parashas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Pei 5780, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 5 November 2019, webcasting from the source of human ethics. This Shabbat we will read of Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, who will argue with the Almighty the justice of the innocent dying with the guilty. This conversation took place in the year 1713 BCE. That's 3,732 years ago. Last week, a sniper in the IDF, whose role is the killing of individual enemies, not spraying bullets at groups of enemies, he was sentenced to a month in the brig and demoted because he did not ask permission from a supervisor. The IDF reports that since March 30th, 2018, that's 20 months ago, that's roughly 80 Fridays ago, the day for their corrupt, plagiarized Muslim version of the Sabbath, tens of thousands of homicidal Muslim haters of Jews come to the barrier between civilized Israel and barbaric Islam to throw objects at Jews in hopes of killing them. The IDF has killed in self-defense 350 of these would-be murderers, these ancient Palestinians. For sure, that number in anti-Jew brains, 350, is evidence of the Jews as cold-blooded racist killers. I think the anti-Jewess Tulsi Gabbard has criticized our sons in uniform for killing unarmed demonstrators there, which is a polite way of accusing our snipers of being murderers. When given the hundreds of thousands of attempted murders in these riots, I say this number is evidence of just the opposite. A cumulative number of participants in these riots surely reaches into the hundreds of thousands. These are the rock throwers. Some throw grenades. Some throw Molotov cocktails. And they would, all of them, not be unhappy to learn that the ammunition they throw at the Jews kills them. Some of them, one of them. The bringing down of some of them, 350 of them, like rabid dogs in this case, rabid asses of men, only 350 times in response to the hundreds of thousands of attempts stirs up in yours truly an ambivalence about this statistic. On the one hand, we Jews are just the opposite of our mortal Arab Muslim assailants. They are barbarians and we're civilized, in that we restrain our worst impulses, reflexes, urges. Every human being is the handiwork of the Almighty, and we do not destroy that life without good reason. So we can all justly quell about ourselves as, in fact, the most moral army in the world. General Richard Kemp said that, former British general in Afghanistan of all British troops, who watched in command posts in Israel how we respond to these massive attacks. Who else besides Israel invented the knock-on-the-roof technique? I reason that the IDF as well has the telephone numbers of everyone in Gaza and has used them to alert people in a building they want to destroy to get out, and or some minutes before the attack, the IDF, IAF, will drop a harmless but very noisy bomb on the doomed rooftop to get the people out. And during these 20 months, no sniper has made the decision to shoot to kill. He is supervised. And as I say, I'm ambivalent about this latest amazing statistic. As I see the downside of the amazing Iron Dome system, a substitute for aggressive, offensive action against the enemy, I wonder. Let's suppose that in the first days of these riots, 20 months ago, Israel had mounted along the barrier not a set of snipers, but a series of 50-millimeter mags and sprayed the mob, swept them the first day and shot dead at random 300 of them. But that put an end to this weekly ritual. This is really a religious ritual, the violence of these believers against the evil Jews. If we had done that and put an end to these riots immediately and killed only 300, we would have saved the lives of 50 young Muslims. Today has been the third day of anticipation for the coming Sabbath, in which Avraham plays advocate for the people in Sodom who did not engage in the perversion. And quite plainly, the ethics are a matter of arithmetic. Avraham bargains with the merciful, merciful Hashem, who lets himself be talked down to his arithmetic bottom line. And in this spirit, I observe the downside of our otherwise noble behavior on the barrier. I continue to be ticked off over the latest rocket barrage aimed at Sderot last Friday night. Ticked off at the government of Israel, that long ago should have matched its creativity in rocket science with a smart way to end this murderous behavior that makes life miserable for fellow Jews. It is immoral to let the rest of us in Israel go on with our normal lives while the people in Sderot and elsewhere in the Gaza envelope communities, as we call them, their lives have been transformed. Sderot is no longer a cute little town built to house Jewish refugees from homicidal Muslims in Morocco and later received Jewish refugees from Russia. That town has been turned into an artillery firing range. There's something sadistic and satanic about this, and Israel is remiss, big time, in letting it go on. And I think one of the factors is the huge amounts of money that Israel profits from via the support it gives the enemy in the Gaza Strip. Daily, hundreds of semi-trailers carrying commodities of all kinds drive into the Strip, which means these commodities have first been purchased and handled by Israeli businesses. It's big business supplying the million-plus Muslims in Gaza who live on the dole. They're like 70% of the Muslims in the Strip, who basically are sustained by all the money World Anti-Jewry spends to keep them alive instead of helping them start a new life in another country, which has been the fate of millions of refugees in every generation, war refugees. The entirety of the billions of dollars spent on sustaining these Arabs in Gaza is nothing but anti-Semitism in action. Were those Arabs not on the Strip, they could not be launching these rockets at us. And the only reason they are there is support from outside, with Israel being the major mainstay of them all. This is abyssal mishig, you know, a little crazy. At the UN these days, the U.S. and Israel are haggling with the sustainers of UNWA. President Trump had the audacity to stop funding the totally corrupt PA. UNWA will not be shut down, but the U.S. and Israel hope for greater control and supervision over its funds, which I think is a waste of time. The entirety of UNWA is an anti-Semitic conception and corruption. Refugee assistance in history has been helping the refugee to start a new life in the country he found shelter in. UNWA, unique in history, sustains these refugees in their refugee stateless condition in order to deny peace and tranquility to the born-again Jewish commonwealth next door. The U.S. and Israel want stricter controls on UNWA, but it's an operation at its core that is corrupt. The entirety of the Palestinian War of National Liberation is corrupt, a complete fantasy of Jews acting like Nazis in the 1940s, and Palestinians in the role today of those Jews, as Islam stole the very notion of a special relationship to Allah and all the important stories of this people, so today the Palestinians have an identity that is a plagiarized version of World War II's Jewish victims of cruel Nazis. In the years following the war, hundreds of thousands of Jews who had survived the Holocaust but then had nothing were housed in DP camps, displaced persons camps. They went from German extermination camps to displaced persons camps, and remained in the news as objects of pity. And so UNWA areas in the Middle East and Gaza, they are maintained as living proof of what Al-Yahud, excuse me, the Zionists, acting like Nazis, did to the ancient ones. They just barged in after the war and stole the entire country from its authentically archaic, legitimate national owners. Today we learned that the Qatari bagman who recently paid another visit to Gaza and dropped off $30 million in cash, he may not be coming back. Even the Qataris. Qatar, home base in the Gulf for bin Laden, may find it difficult in the future to hand over that sum every month. PMW Today, that is their Maurice Hirsch, their researcher, reported that since 2011, the PA, itself the recipient of donations, forked over to its parent organization, the PLO Syndicate of Terror Gangs, some $2 billion. Some of it going to the PLO's second most powerful assassination cult, the PFLP, which is still on the books in the U.S. and elsewhere as a terrorist organization. You got that? The donations to the PA end up in the pockets of the PLO terror groups. The PA, I'm saying, is as thoroughly a malignancy on civilization as UNRWA. The PA has not held an election in 15 years. Nonetheless, the Central Election Committee of the PA received for its work in these years, between 2011 and 2018, some $30 million. Likewise, the PA imitation of a civilized parliament called the Legislative Council, that has not met in 13 years, received in those 7 years almost $100 million. This is all because of anti-Semitism, the most powerful negative force in the world. In the 1940s, mankind killed 60 million of its own species, and in the darkest furnace of evil desire, burnt the black flame of Jew hatred. The Japanese and the Italians had their own motives for their aggression, but for sure the war in Europe and the Middle East, Hitler's war, was fueled by his and his supporters' insane hatred of Jews and the need to find and murder every one of us in the world. If Hiroshima and Nagasaki's combined death toll was very roughly 200,000, 100,000 per bomb, World War II was as if planet Earth had been bombarded with 600 atomic bombs. Ethics. We're back to arithmetic. אומרים ישנו צר שם מרכבתו בלב אדם כל שנייה היא תחנה עליה על מרכבו אל אותו מקום מסתור אתה תפסע המסע וכל מילה שבו אתה כתבת זה סיפור חייך אל תשכח את הדרך אין מקום אחר אז אל So, I think it's fair to judge my commentary, seeing the world through the lens of anti-Semitism, very powerful force, and it's really the hostility to the God of the Jews. The Jerusalem Post today reported on the High Court allowing the government to deport a Mr. Omar Shakir that he has fought in the court for over a year, I think. He is a paid agent of Human Rights Watch. That's a front organization for the nefarious Hungarian anti-Jew Jew George Schwartz, who changed his name to George Soros, which choice may have been God having some fun with him because it's a name close to the Yiddish word tzulis, troubles. George Tzulis, he's always making trouble. Mr. Shakir, that's another name drenched in irony, perhaps, because it's so like the Hebrew word shekel, meaning lie. Because this liar, officially the Israel and Palestine director of Human Rights Watch, is to be expelled because the High Court agreed he's basically a liar, purporting to be concerned for the human rights of the victims of Zionism, but has been an active assailant against Israel by pushing the BDS baloney, that attempt to mask the desire to destroy Israel by pretending to be concerned only for the holy two-state solution, which will transform Judea and Samaria into the state of Palestine, no Jews allowed. And never mind the fate of the half-million Jews who would become homeless refugees. Since the Knesset had passed a law barring BDS fakers into the country, the High Court agreed Mr. Shakir was a Baal Shekel, a master of the lie, who can legally be expelled from Israel. And I think it's important to see any BDS activist as a classic malignant anti-Jew, because like Hitler, they believe in lies, fantasies of evil Jewish behavior that have no basis in truth. And that, I think, is most apparent in what's going on campuses these days, you know, the Israel apartheid types, who see in Israel a project of racists who stole an entire country from an entire people because the Zionists are racists. That, after all, was the essence of the infamous UN General Assembly resolution of 1975 that judged Zionism to be a form of racism, which then, as today, disguises a hostility to the very existence of the immortal Jewish nation. Jewish national solidarity is experienced as a hateful ideology, which curiously keeps this people alive from generation to generation, each generation recording its hatred of Jews in various ways. Last week, a pro-Israel group called Alums for Campus Fairness published a record of over 100 anti-Semitic incidents at Columbia University, my alma mater, over just the last three academic years. For example, in May, last spring, Students for Justice in Palestine, the SJP, held a die-in on the campus and released a statement, quote, condoning terrorism and denying the right to Jewish self-determination, close quote. Bullseye, just what I was saying. It's the very existence of the immortal Jewish people that enrages the delusional anti-Jew. Remember my old ex-British friend, you lot stick together, as he explained anti-Semitism to me. That SJP denial of the right to Jewish self-determination is the essential fuel of their hatred, with the Palestinian narrative a fictional cover-up that suits the time and place, but that's all. The statement referred to violence at the Gaza border as, by implication, not the initiative of the rioters, but Israel. It is part of, quote, a linear path of violence that we can trace back decades, a path that correctly spells out the racist objective of Zionism to create an ethno-supremacist state with no place for the indigenous Palestinians. Israel is guilty of ethnic cleansing and incremental genocide, close quote. That's a new one on me. Incremental genocide. And never mind that the number of Arabs in Israel with citizenship is today 10 times greater than it was in 1948. These people, like Hitler, are simply delusional. Their feelings about Jews are real, which is not the same as reality-based. The famous theoretician of acting in a play on a stage, the Russian Konstantin Stanislavsky, said acting is a genuine reaction to an artificial stimulus. And so I would say that the feelings of these anti-Jews are very powerful and very real to them, though produced by fantasies in their brains, fantasies about Jews, about what we believe in and how we behave. For example, Hitler believed that the Bolsheviks in the Kremlin were all Jews, and the capitalist bankers in Wall Street were all Jews who dictated to Roosevelt in Washington. And he then had an explanation for what he saw as an oddity, that Washington and Moscow were in cahoots against him. He reasoned that communism and capitalism were really false fronts for international Jewish conspirators. Hitler's favorite American was Henry Ford, who published a pseudo-newspaper called the Dearborn Independent, which was basically a platform for him to spit his poison at the Jews, just like Hitler, for our conspiracy to overrun the whole world. Listen again to these students at Columbia. Zionism has the, quote, racist objective of creating an ethno-supremacist state with no place for the indigenous Palestinians, close quote. This, first of all, presupposes that the Jews are a race and don't like all other races, when we are not a race. And the Arabs he calls Palestinians are not indigenous. This presupposes a community of Arabs anchored to a particular country that they have never left and abandoned, versus what is known of the Arabs. The Encyclopedia Britannica at the time of the Balfour Declaration said Arab was basically a synonym for nomad, who by definition has no permanent home. He's not an agriculturalist who cultivates a particular plot of land that he calls home. He's a wanderer. The historical record, government documents, letters, photographs, paintings of Eretz Israel before the Zionist movement, show nothing of a people here who call themselves Palestinians or called that by others. Recently, I came across the following. The state was declared in May of 1948, and in the month of fighting after that, a 23-year-old American, writing for the Boston Post, a newspaper that no longer exists, wrote up an Israeli he had met, who, even in the middle of the fighting, said he foresaw no problem with Arabs living in the new Jewish state. He said that between 1932 and 1944, some 500,000 Arabs came into the land looking for work. This journalist was fresh out of Harvard and very supportive of the Jews for what they had created that he saw and their pluck in the face of the plainly aggressive armies invading the new country at that very moment. His name was Robert F. Kennedy. 20 years later, to the month, he was murdered by an Arab, born in a village just north of Jerusalem, who called himself a Jordanian, Sirhan Sirhan. The ancient Palestinians had yet to be the topic of even one UN resolution the day Kennedy was murdered. Bobby was murdered because in 1968, that year, the U.S. was not yet the mainstay of Israel that it has become, and Kennedy led the effort in Congress to supply phantom jets to Israel. This is the first big-ticket item that the U.S. would send to Israel, and for this, he was murdered. A law professor at Columbia last spring at some other anti-Israel event said, quote, Israel does weapons tests on Palestinian children. Israel makes money this way on Palestinian children's bodies. These campus anti-Jews and SJP are truly afflicted with delusions about the Jews, as any in history. At Columbia in October of 2016, someone walked around the campus with a sign saying, quote, Jews financed black slavery. Israel was behind 9/11. This is a true mental disorder. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So if we ended the last segment with the observation that today's anti-Jew mental universe is as wacky as ever, in Israel this week, we have passed through another chapter in the crack-up of sexual sanity in the West. Yesterday, the famous in the Haredi community, Rabbi Avraham Elimelech Firer, canceled a benefit concert for a charity he established. Rabbi Firer is known for his knowledge of not only contemporary medicine, never having gone to medical school, and where in the medical community in Israel and other countries there are specialists for all kinds of problems. People go to him for free advice, and he knows where to direct them. He reminds me of a medical malpractice lawyer I knew in my childhood, who likewise knew almost as much medicine as the doctors he convicted of malpractice. Rabbi Führer, a truly saintly figure, was to benefit on November 20 from a concert of the music of Shlomo Arzi, arguably the most successful Israeli composer of pop songs, and deservedly so. He's almost in a class with Paul Simon, I think, without Simon's depth. He has composed numerous sweet melodies. Only the rabbi had to cancel this private event. He didn't have to do it legally, because one of the local groups here of, to my mind, neurotic women, objected to the Haredi practice of men not being entertained in live performance by a woman. It was to be an all-male performer evening, including members of the Israeli Philharmonic. This was sexism, the progressives complained, and the rabbi, who is the opposite of a combative man, preferred to cancel the concert rather than fight. There are certain figures in the pop music world that refused to play when they were told no women would perform. A few others did not mind and said they would come in any case. The Israel Women's Network applauded the cancellation, quote, "We must not accept any case of exclusion in the public sphere, since that affects the status of women in all fields of society, from academia and the military to workplaces. We praise the artists and the Philharmonic for not agreeing with the erasure and silencing of women. Even a good goal cannot come at the expense of women," close quote. And there you have, to my mind, another mind off the rails. What the authoress of this statement sees is the absence of women is a desire to erase them and silence them. She prays the Philharmonic for not agreeing with the erasure and silencing of women. This is so wrong, though in fairness, I wish the Haredim had a spokesman to explain the purpose of the separation and the absence of women as entertainers to look at during their performance. They never explain this stricture because it would include topics they're too embarrassed to bring up in public, such as the male propensity to ogle and the potential for arousal, when true Yiddishkeit reserves that for making babies. A true Jewish husband has eyes only for his wife. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.